numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. Thanks for letting us be part of your Friday morning. It's all brought to you, rather, by BetMGM. Proudly so, I might say. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Dwayne Colucci, who runs the Rampart Sportsbook. He's the race and sports manager. Let's give him his title.
Give me Looch.
Looch. He'll talk Preakness with us, down to seven horses. At what point, I'd like to ask horse racing people a question. Like, at what point are there too few horses to actually run this? Like, would they run it if there were only three horses?
That's a great question. I know you were doing hard-hitting research earlier.
I was trying to figure out what are the fewest horses ever run in the Preakness, but I'm sure when the Preakness first started, there was probably really small fields. But I'm saying in modern history, what's the smallest group? Because we lost First Mission this morning, for those who missed it.
So we're down to seven.
So we're down to seven horses, with Mage being now the, you know, an even bigger favorite, if you will, to win the second leg of the Triple Crown after winning the Derby, obviously, 2 weeks ago.
So these rods this morning, obviously, they'll be adjusted with First Mission out.
They will be. And so a lot of people also sort of think that Chase the Chaos is a throwout, like doesn't even have a chance. So then it's really even a smaller field if you're being truthful about it. We'll see what Kaluch has to say about it later on.
I mean, how rich do you got to be that when you run out of horse names that you get to coffee with Chris, where you're like, I'm literally sitting with my business partner, Chris, discussing horses, and it's like, I don't know. Let's just call it coffee with Chris.
Chase the Chaos. Who knows what the origin of many of these names are. Have you ever been to the Preakness? You ever been to the infield grass at Pimlico in Baltimore?
No. But
that would be your scene.
Oh, I used to do a radio show with one Josh Cohen down in South Florida, who is from the D.C. area as well, mm-hmm. and he used to go there every single year and would tell me the same thing.
I had a group of buddies who did it every year. You run into the infield, you plant a flag, like you stake out your land. Now, I don't know how you watch the race from there, quite frankly.
I never get that.
Yeah, but I don't think it's about that, if you know what I mean.
I've been to the track a whole lot, right? When you were a younger kid. I went there a lot to play poker in South Florida. I never understood where I'm like, zoo, okay, cool. Like, you guys all just sat here for that?
It's all about the gamble. It's all about the gambleitis. Although, if you're in the infield, it's about other things as well. PGA update again. This is a really good-looking leaderboard. Justin Rose is now a co-leader. Justin Rose is 3-under for the day through seven. He is 4-under for the tournament, tied with Bryson DeChambeau, who is still in the clubhouse, yet to start his second round today. Scottie Scheffler and Corey Connors have yet to start their second rounds. They're 1-back, 3-under for the tournament. And then everybody cascades down from there. But in under par territory, Adam Scott at 2-under, Victor Hovland at 2-under, Keegan Bradley at 2-under. DJ has given back a couple strokes this morning. He's 1-under for the tournament. And then lurking at even, you've got the Homas and the Shoffleys of the world. So, I mean, there's some big names up there for the PGA Championship at Oak Hill and Rochester.
Let's go, Xander. I'm going to be begging for some wins in this tournament if it pans out like yesterday. Did I make an irrational ad of Cam Davis this morning?
Yes,
of course
you did.
I did. Of course I did.
Not Cam Smith, not Cam Young, Cam Davis.
That's right, Cam Davis, because you know I can't quit it. What number was it? 85-1, so I like that he's having a good round.
Nice job.
Keegan Bradley and Cam Davis, it's the all Kelly Bidlin winner/loser team up top there. So if one of those guys get home,
I might have bet 20 plus 20 50 on Scottie Scheffler having the low score in the second round. I might have done that this morning.
Ooh, I like that bet.
He had his first bogey-free major round yesterday. 3-under.
And Gil, for watching him yesterday and watching him last week at the Byron Nelson, this dude's still struggling to make, 5-foot putts.
That's correct.
Could you imagine
if he's actually competent doing that? And by the way, I'm glad we got our moment of Michael Block in there because he's given back three strokes.
Yeah.
Bogey, double bogey, so he's back to even. Game tonight, Heat Celtics, because before we get out of here, I want to make sure we get your thoughts on this. Again, the Heat are 9-point dogs, and I had the Heat in game 1 plus 8.5. They won it outright, obviously. I wasn't that bold, but the spread coasted on the heels of a 46, or I should say on the strength of a 46-25 third quarter for the Heat. At TD Garden. Is it still TD Garden? Is that what it is now?
Yeah.
Here it is at 9. So I said this to JVT. Do you agree with this? Because obviously the games are in front of us. We do content, so we speak of them. But we never force bets here, which is one of the beautiful luxuries of doing this, because there are other formats in sports betting media where they're almost compelled to have to make a bet. This is one where I legitimately believe what I said to JVT earlier, which is if you told me the Celtics won by 20, if you told me the Heat won outright, I would be equally nonplussed because I just think the Celtics are that team. And when I said earlier, when I asked JVT, what's of the four remaining teams in the NBA, what's the least championship-looking team? I do believe it's the Celtics. You can't win championships the way they show up from one game and then disappear in another. And even within games, we've seen them show up for a half and then disappear in a second half. So I just don't know that they have that metal. Maybe it's the coaching. Maybe that's part of it as well. Do you agree with that, though? Like, if the Celtics won by 20, you wouldn't be surprised at all tonight.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. I would put it just like you did. I think
the Heat could win it outright, too.
Yeah, like I said it here when we talked about this series before it started. I thought the Heat's best chances were in Game 1, Game 3 to pick up
you
wins.
Did.
I think I would be far more surprised by a Heat win tonight than I was in Game 1. But, man, this, like, it's you know what? I can say whatever the heck I want. You can't. You've said it a couple times. You can't quantify what Jimmy Butler's doing. I know the guys talked about it yesterday in the afternoon on Sharp Money. Dustin asked me this. We crossed paths yesterday, and he said, how many guys do you think, besides Jimmy Butler, could get this Heat team to this point? And I'm like, man, it is a
great question.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I'm like, Giannis, Jokic, I don't know if I can name anybody else that I really feel belongs in that category. And Jokic only qualifies if we're throw out positions of what everybody's playing. It's been incredible. I think it's for tonight. Look, I've got my series bets in, kind of on both these series now. I don't really know how much game betting I'm going to be doing. Game 3 for Lakers Nuggets, I did put a small bet in on 4.5 last night because I knew that number was going to rise. And I'll look to get in on the Lakers live in that game. This one, Gil, what you just said about not being able to trust them. I'm at that point with Boston, right? I think they are by far the more talented team, but can you trust them versus a team that you know exactly what you're getting with the Miami Heat, right?
Every time out.
And it's just a question of what JVT brought up earlier. Are the threes going to fall or are they not, right? That's how much trouble you might be in with the Heat or not.
I said, well, the every time out thing, I should amend that because I think the Knicks series almost lulled us back to sleep about them because the Knicks aren't very good, and the Heat didn't have to be that good to beat the Knicks. So we kind of forgot about the Bucks series, I guess, or the market did, and it was like, Heat, whatever. Surely they can't continue to do this. The Heat vying to become the second team in history, the second eighth seed in history to get to an NBA Finals. It should be noted that the first team that did that, which was the Knicks in 99, that was a lockout shortened season of 50 games. So this really would be unprecedented. Like, this is a legit full season, eighth seed. This just doesn't happen. And by the way, there were best of fives back then, too. These are all best of sevens. Yep. So, I mean, it's on its own level if this happens.
Oh, I was really thinking about that. Like, it was like yesterday, more yesterday I was thinking about. Like, historically.
Yeah.
If they go on and win the finals, where does this rank as, like, greatest runs? I think a lot of people aren't thinking about that, Gil, because they think about this Miami Heat team as they've been to the Eastern Conference Finals three times in 4 years. I understand all that, but if you watched regular season this year, you watched this team lose against the Hawks in a play-in, understand where they're at.
We have to say this again. That 7-8 game, they got rolled. And in that game for the eighth seed against the Bulls, because I remember because I had Bulls in-game numbers on this, the Bulls looked like they were going to win that game easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miami had a 15-1 run late to win that game. Just out of, you kind of were like, what just happened? And now here we are now. You took it to another level, not to get too sports talk radio, but I was just talking about a team historically getting to the NBA Finals, an eighth seed. If they won it, you asked, where would this rank? We have no precedent for this in this league because the NBA has always been top heavy. This doesn't happen. This just doesn't happen.
Right.
And we went through metrics where they're like, you know, offensively, they're 28th in the league, 29th in the league, 28th in the league for the full season. So And then Jimmy Butler can say all he wants. The playoff Jimmy is not a thing. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's totally a thing. And then Spoelstra, I mean, just send him on a Concorde. Do we still talk Concorde?
I just
to the
think
Hall
it's,
of Fame.
It's just, if that happens, though, like if they beat the Celtics and get to the finals, I just think, you know what I mean? People are going to not talk. They're not going to make a big deal about it as they should because of how poor this team was in the regular season, because it's what Jay Kahn said the other day. If you watch NBA just recreationally, I mean, you're checking in this time of year for like the first time. And all you're seeing is a Heat team that you've seen here every year before. And like, no, they don't belong.
I'm going to say it one more time because I said with Drew Dinsick earlier, but I'll say it again. I've said it in different ways. In basketball, like basketball is jazz. We can't understand everything with our eyes, right? If Lionel Richie has a hit song, I can see the chords on a piece of sheet music and I can reproduce the chords. But I can't figure out what Miles Davis's magic is from performance to performance of the same in the same piece of music. The Heat, what they are doing is unidentifiable to your eyes and to your brain. Deflected passes, we talked about it. Taking charges, points off screens, all the little things that they do that your eyes don't process. So, and Jimmy Butler is the catalyst of it all. So in many ways, this is a team that is on the one hand, team analytics, and on the other hand,
you can't quantify it at all.
You can't quantify it at all. And so it's. They're so unique to watch and so fascinating to watch. But we come back Monday. I assume you think the Lakers will be down 2-1. What do you think this series will be after four games? After three games.
After three games, 2-1 Celtics.
Oh, after all that. He gonna learn. Jeff Parlay Wedding Props next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Footbet!
Thought I lost you there for a second. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes. You can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way. There are too many to count. That VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Mike McCormick. He says, I got Man City winning the treble 2 weeks ago at plus 125. Right now, Kelly Cech minus 175.
170.
Like I said, Kelly Cech minus 170. Brandon Webb, am I just finding out that Gil is coming to the St. Louis area and totally come right over the Mississippi to hang out in the book with me? Brandon, I don't know. We'll see if we have time to do that as well. Phil Weiss, and this is kind of what I was getting at with Paul Carr. Phil Weiss has a good point. He says, I hate to go against one of my favorite guests of yours, but if Arsenal loses on Saturday, I'd take a shot on Chelsea 12-1 or +1 +350 in their game against Man City, because City will rest their starters for the FA Cup and Champions League final. Odds are too big to pass over. I think that's a great betting angle, because if Arsenal loses, Man City's got nothing to play for at that point. So that's probably a smart way to play that. Chris Heath says they run three horses at Golden Gate Fields all the time. Yeah, but how about the Preakness? Trip Tepper, Perch.
Oh, here we go. Trip, no!
There we go, Trip. You have crossed the line. He said, per chat GPT, he says the smallest field for the Preakness is 4. This occurred in several instances, including the inaugural running of the race in 1873 and in 1890, 1894 and 1907. Who could forget those races? Elvis Toast Patterson, Gilly, I sure hope Jeff Parlay has plans for you, Ben Wilson, Todd Wishnev, and the rest to watch Lomachenko and Haney. It's going to be the fight of the year. I may have bet Lomachenko already. Might have done that. Chris Heath, if the NBA is Miles, which major sport is Lionel Richie? I don't know. It's a great question. I haven't worked out the analogy far enough. I'll let you know when I do. Ladies and gentlemen, he is but a mere 24-plus hours ahead of his nuptials, holy matrimony for producer number 5 and 8 of this here program, A Numbers Game, the Grover Cleveland of producers, now a VSiN host. Please welcome Jeff Parles, or as I like to call him, Jeff Parlay. Jeffrey, are you there? Jeffrey?
I'm here. Good morning.
Oh my God, for heaven's sake. Jeff, 24 hours away from your wedding, what the heck are you doing here wasting your time with me? Don't you have something better to do?
But what do you want? It's 10:50. It's 10:17 here in St. Louis, and I gotta go. I gotta go make sure my tux fits in about 45 minutes, which is going to be an interesting one. And then it's pretty simple errands at this point, Gil. So I have plenty of time for you and Kelly. Even though I will say, if Kelly was better at making those props for the wedding, he would have had horses in the Preakness versus groomsmen,
wow.
And that would have actually been as sharp of a possible prop as there is at this point.
Shots fired already.
Wow.
Producer okay. on producer crime.
I mean, it's quite a shot hearing, considering I heard you spend an hour on him on your show.
I was there for a segment.
We spent about an hour. I guess technically an hour, not a whole hour, but I mean, Ben Wilson that day had the great Vegas Golden Knight jersey under sport jacket look. So we had to milk it. Because of that.
All right, these are not actual props available for real wagers, ladies and gentlemen, for entertainment purposes.
Well, maybe tweet at me. Maybe I'll take your action.
Yeah, Kelly's always open to that kind of thing. I'm told, or he might have just said. Let's start with these because I have thoughts on some of these. First of all, wagers made by Jeff on his wedding day. The over-under is a half. What is going to be the answer to this? Because you will have the ultimate inside information.
Oh, I mean, that's pound the under. Pound the under. I'm going to be too distracted all day. I mean, when you were going through your tweets, I had no idea that Lomachenko was fighting this weekend. I barely knew that the Nuggets won last night because with the only time I checked, the Lakers were still winning, and then my dad comes flying into the room and said the Nuggets came back and won. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was well asleep by the time that hockey game ended last night, so I am so far out of the loop on anything sports-wise this weekend, so that is the easiest unders you're going to get.
Wow. Jeff Parlay, straight-laced. Plays it straight.
Yeah, but this is a trap one right here. Because if you bet the under, you made a bet.
Oh,
but I didn't bet it.
But he's not betting.
But I didn't bet it.
I see what you did.
You didn't.
All right, VSiN personalities to drive to Illinois to place a sports bet from Missouri. The over-under is 3.5. Now, it should be mentioned that you can tell us what VSiN personalities are actually going to be in attendance now.
So it's 5. It's 5 will be there. You will be there. Ben will be there. Wes will be there. I know we got a great Wes prop later on this as well. Dan Burke will be there. And then I guess we'll count Todd in this mix.
Todd Wishnev, honorary.
Appeared on the network plenty of times. So it's 3.5. I would go under. I mean, I think Ben won't go. Danny's the most likely because he's coming from Illinois. So he could very easily maneuver back across state lines, but I'll go under. And also, I know Todd is a crazy person and driving 9 hours from Pittsburgh. So that could screw up things because he has the ability to drive multiple VSiN personalities across the border and back.
Yeah, that's a no play for me because I don't know who has a creative other ways of betting, you know, if you know what I mean. If the weekend, I didn't even see this. You just added this on. If the weekend's I Can't Feel My Face song comes on, will Gil tell the Dr. Bob story about it? Yes, -800. No, there's no being offered.
There's no option. No option.
All right, hold on, next page, because I got thoughts on some of these. Hold on, Parlay. Here's the next one. First of all, I think some of these are very poor lines created by the great Ben Wilson. But real quick, does Jeff cry at the wedding ceremony? Yes, -150, no, +130. Or do any VSiN employees accept Jeff cry at the wedding? The no becomes the big favorite at -500.
I mean, yes for me is that's a ridiculous line. That should be closer to -350.
Jeff's emotional.
Maybe even more. All it takes is one tear to slip out, and that's a winner. So, yeah, that's a great price on the yes. And then, you know, this is the question. Who would be the other VSiN personality to cry? Ben claims he hasn't cried since 4th and 26, so that's almost 20 years ago now.
Yeah. I haven't cried since the Eisenhower administration, so, yeah, not me.
Yeah, I don't see you crying. Todd has a lack of self-awareness, so he's not going to cry. Danny and Wes, I don't see it. The nose properly favored there.
do Ben and Danny both show up with the dates as virtual coin flip? I don't know about that one. How many VSiN employees show up clean shaven? The over 1.5 at minus 150 is a lock. I'll tell you this because I have inside information. I'll be damned if I'm shaving, Jeff. And Todd, if he shaves, is going to scare everybody away. So that's two right there. That's an over cash right there.
Oh, I mean, it's easy because I know my situation. I'm getting my beard cleaned up, so I will have facial hair too. So that's three, and Ben always keeps the facial hair, and yeah, I mean that might be everyone in all honesty. I mean, Dan Burke's got his great Selleck mustache still going, so that's an easy over as well.
VSiN get mentioned, the speech at the reception, how many gambling references are made during the speeches at the reception. Let me do the last page here because I have thoughts on this one.
That's it.
Oh, there's no more? There was one that I guess they took it off the board. They took it off the board because I steamed it so much, which was age of person to catch the wedding band. It was 29 and a half under over, and I said under 29 and a half because if you're that age at a wedding, you sort of get wedding fever and you aggressively try to get the band. If you're over 29 and a half, you're more likely to be married or to have been married and have been beaten down by marriage. Put on your earmuffs for this, Jeff. Sorry. And so I think it's the under 29 and a half part of that. Jeff, real quick here.
Gil, hold on that.
Please.
The reason that's off the board is no action. There's no bouquet talk.
Oh, there you go. Okay. There we go. Yeah. Off the board. How do you feel, Jeff? In all seriousness, we have a minute here. In all seriousness, congratulations to you. Mazel tov, I think I'm supposed to say to you.
Yes.
This is a wonderful moment in your life. Thank you for including me. Thank you for including all of us in this. And what would you like to say now here on the way? And like, are you just full steam? You're not nervous? You're ready to do this? How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel really good this morning. The stuff leading up the last few days, there have been some things that, of course, it's not going to be a perfect ride that we have had to work through that were out of Margaret and I's control, unfortunately. But we are in great shape now, and everything's ready to rock and roll. We're ready, Gil. I'm ready. The biggest thing now is we have pickleball this afternoon. No injuries in pickleball.
That's really
the biggest thing now, Gil.
Right.
No injuries. Injuries in pickleball.
Bring in the tennis racket. Let's all stay away from injury. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Congratulations. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Gil. Thanks, guys.
Jeff, you're awesome. Congrats, buddy.
Jeff Parlay, everybody. Holy matrimony. Now, Kelly couldn't go because if Kelly goes, then the network collapses, right? There no one will be here to host any show over the weekend.
Yeah, I think that's how it would
be. I'm pretty much
yes. I did get invited. I can't go. But yes, I wish Jeff the best and you the best, everybody that's there. It's going to be a party. What a party.
Why are you wishing me the best?
Just have a good time, man.
Yeah. Should be fun. Good for the kids.
You're doing the quick, though. You're leaving right after the show?
Right after the show.
Back for Monday.
The nonstop choices are Southwest, Frontier, and Spirit. How about that trifecta? This should be fun. Coming back with Dan Bespris on the NBA.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show-hosted guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. This is, we get tweets, by the way, at Beating the Book. Chris Heath was mentioning earlier about they run three horses at Golden Gate Fields all the time. Well, I'm also told from Roger Jones, he says, Gil, they would do a stakes with two for sure, see Seabiscuit versus War Admiral. At the local track, we've had a walkover in recent memory where the horse just runs around like a workout if it's just one horse. How about that?
But then they don't – can they Allen Iverson still? I would prefer that. Whenever there's a walkover.
Yeah. Listen.
The horse has to do
it. This is our greatest suggestion ever on this show and on Primetime Action. When there is a walkover in tennis, the person who is
who's quitting
–
yep.
Must physically lie down on the clay, on the grass, on the hard court, regardless of hard court speed or surface, and must be physically walked over.
That's right.
Like Allen Iverson did to Tyronn Lue. Yeah. By the way, you were saying to me yesterday, you were laughing, you're like, you wouldn't have said that about anybody else, but if it were anyone else but Swiatek. Swiatek was 2-2 in the third set. She wasn't losing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did not know the score.
That I did not know the score.
I honestly did.
Kelly Bill taking shots. I did not know the score.
I did not know what the score was.
Bill Hooker says Rybakina is taking money ahead of the Ostapenko match. Not according to my book, she's not. Let's see. Trip Tepper said, I use ChatGPT since I didn't have access to Wes Reynolds' encyclopedia brain. And Ryan Hyatt, listening to Veasan's tribute to Numbers Games, Grover Cleveland, I'm getting a little emotional. Jeff Parlay, all grown up, wedding of the season. Need a special wedding cast show. Best wishes to the happy couple. And Rich PSM adds, as a listener from the Grover days, Mazel Tov, Jeff and Gil, please post some pics. We feel a part of it. Michael Burns, I know we're not ready here in the STL for a Veasan overload. Dear Lord, I fly either American or Delta to Vegas. Can't do the other options. Supposed to be beautiful weather. Enjoy. Yeah, the weather's supposed to be beautiful for his wedding, which is supposed to be a good omen, I believe, according to some, for the duration, for the longevity of said marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Bespris joins us. He's got the best audio in the biz. He is the assistant GM at Sports Ethos, Fantasy NBA Today host, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dan Bespris, B-E-S-B-R-I-S. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. These playoffs have been great, actually, so maybe I should crank up how have I been. I've been pretty good, actually.
They've been awesome. They really have been. Awesome. From a betting standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, I want to ask you the first question I asked at the end of my segment earlier, which is, just betting aside right now, you look at these four teams that are still alive, which team feels to you to be the least championship feeling? Like, what team is playing, the way that each of these four teams are playing right now, which is the one you're like, that's not a championship team. They can't win a championship playing this way.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but it's been Boston.
Bang! That's exactly who I said.
Yeah, they just don't look like they're fully engaged every ball game. I don't know how you can do that in the playoffs. That we saw that in the regular season. You can usually just kind of brush that aside. I mean, you and Gil, we've talked a billion times on this show about how teams are usually just kind of coasting at about 80% in the regular season, if that. But you're seeing that too often from them in the playoffs. They're playing with fire, and Philly almost burned them, and Philly is a severely flawed team. I would have thought Miami was too, but, you know, Jimmy Butler can lift an entire organization onto his shoulders in the postseason. At some point, you've got to think it's going to burn them unless they wake up like permanently instead of for one or two games at a time.
They are seven victories away from like one of the great American sports stories. I just want to say that because this just doesn't happen in the NBA. But we're ahead of ourselves. What about game two? Celtics are favored by 9, actually a half point higher. We all know about this trend that everybody's been throwing around, which is if you lose game one at home in the playoffs, the last 23 games, you're 22 games, pardon me, you're 21-1 straight up. You're 20-2 against the spread. Trends are trends. That's a pretty powerful trend. Do you think Boston, because I said earlier a few times, hey, if Boston won this by 20, I wouldn't be that shocked. Are you laying? Do you have enough courage to lay the wood on this?
I don't. I am a very scared and timid individual on the whole. I've seen too much messing around from Boston and the Heat. I know that they've lost a few games during these playoffs straight up and against the spread, but I don't think that I'm fading Miami until I see something obvious that tells me the Heat are less focused than their opponent on any given night. I Miami just doesn't strike me as the kind of team that's going to sleepwalk through this ball game, and 9 is a ton.
Yeah.
I don't think I could go Miami either in this game, and frankly, this of the two series, this is the one that I'm having a little more trouble really nailing down other than the total in the first game. But this is probably a stay away for me. Nine is a huge number.
What you said there is I think how I feel, which is you don't really feel like everybody's instinct is to be like, all right, well the Celtics will crush them here. I don't know. The Heat really don't feel like a team that isn't as engaged as they are every single night. Now, sure, if they fell behind by 10-11 and the fourth quarter's a few minutes in, then you do get into a dicey territory of, okay, maybe we're at the point where if this goes, you know, 4 points more, we just pack it in. There's always that. But I'm not counting on that from the beginning. Like I said, as much as I can see the Celtics winning going away, I can also see the Heat winning it outright, and I wouldn't be that shocked by this.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm right on board with you there. And, you know, we saw it on the other side of the bracket. The Lakers were, and this series is different, but they won that first game in each of their first two series, and then they throttled down in the second one. We saw it repeatedly. You kind of like get a feel for what a team is I just, it doesn't feel like Miami is that kind of team. They know that they're, I believe, and this is maybe not a fair way to describe it, but they, I think, feel like they're sort of playing with house money at this point. And so every time out, they're like, you know what? Let's just throw it all out there again. We've got Jimmy Butler, who's more than willing to play 48 minutes and be a meme leaning on a table at the edge of the court. Let's just go for it, because they know it could all fall apart at a moment's notice. They're already down Tyler Hero. They're not going to take a game for granted because, again, they know they're out-talented. They're outclassed in all these series, and they just keep winning with better effort and better execution. I see no reason why they wouldn't at least give it all. But like you said, yeah, I mean, if they're down like a dozen with 8 minutes to go, there's sort of that diminishing returns thing where maybe we'd rather have Jimmy Butler able to play all 48 in game three back at home. But if this thing is within 6-10, even, I think, midway through the fourth, they still probably make that push, because we've seen the Celtics explode. We've also seen them turtle a little bit.
We don't make the Tyler Hero point enough, but we should bring it up every time. And they don't have Tyler Hero. Okay, I said this earlier too, real quick. If you like the Heat to win the series, do you just go ahead and play this at almost $2 right now, or do you wait for them to lose game two and they get a bigger price?
I think you can go ahead and get a little cute with this one. Even if you don't think the Celtics cover, I think you probably feel like they win. So if you like the Heat and you didn't bet them before the series, I'd probably wait through game two. And you know what? If they end up winning this one, you just say, ah, well, we missed it. But I do feel like sort of the percentages are in your favor that they will lose and you'll get a slightly better price. Not by a ton, because there's an expectation the Celtics are going to win
this
game.
That's right.
A little bit.
That's the bug in that. That's the fly in that ointment. Okay, so real quick, then I come back on Monday, is this going to be Heat 3-0, Heat 2-1, or Celtics 2-1?
I'm going to go Heat 2-1.
I like it. Lakers and Nuggets. I think we all are assuming the Lakers will be down 2-1 when we come back on Monday. Would you lay the points with the Lakers? It's 5.5.
I think I probably would. I just get a feeling. I watched each of those games really closely, and it just, I know you're sort of playing the averages here in a small sample size where you're sort of assuming that the large sample size thing plays out, but some star on the Lakers, I think, will probably be decent in game three, and you'll probably get slightly better shooting from the others. I don't see them shooting 44% back at home. I don't see Jamal Murray doing this every ball game. I think he very well could do it every other ball game, and that's why I think Denver wins this series. But going back to game three, I think this is one where the Lakers are able to open up a little bit of a cushion and then probably take it by, I don't think it's a blowout. I don't think any game in this series is going to be a blowout, but I could easily see the Lakers winning by kind of in that 7-9 range.
Can you see them winning 4 of 5?
No. And I said it on my own show yesterday. When you get in a close series, the player I would want out of all of the players in this series is Jokic. And then it was Jamal Murray was sort of my second choice there, because LeBron's not shooting the ball well, hasn't all year. AD is kind of up and down, a little bit hitter. If you have good AD, he can win you a game late with a tough shot. But I'd rather have Jokic or Jamal Murray in a close ball game. So I think Denver's winning this series, but I do think Lakers are taking game three.
Yeah, AD, talk about just Jekyll and Hyde, 4 of 15 last night again. It's just, what are we watching?
How?
I don't understand.
Elevate over anyone on that team. It's not like Jaren Jackson's on the other side right now.
Should be the easiest thing in the world for him, this sport. And some nights it just doesn't seem that way. Dano, enjoy. Good luck with all the bets, man.
Off to have my plain bagel.
Dan Bespris. They call him Plain Bagel at Dan Bespris. Again, the Fantasy NBA Today host and the assistant GM at Sports Ethos at Dan Bespris. Dwayne Colucci. Colucci on the Preakness. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and game Game Sense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin. I was asking what folks, our basketball guests, would think the series tally will be when we get back here on Monday for both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference series. Right now at the PGA at Oak Hill in Rochester, Bryson DeChambeau, again, a one-stroke lead over the field. He has yet to tee off today. He's 4-under for the tournament, yet to start his second round. Justin Rose gave back a stroke. So it's Rose and Scheffler, one-stroke back. Scheffler also, and Corey Connors as well. Scheffler and Connors have yet to tee off today as well. If I came to you on Monday, Kelly, and said, hey, Bryson DeChambeau won this whole thing, you would be astonished.
Yeah. Checking into a psych ward somewhere between the Miami Heat and Bryson DeChambeau, probably.
Yeah.
I don't understand sports anymore.
This is a lot of big names, again, with the PGA. If you're wondering, by the way, who's got the low score currently for those who bet second round low score, currently... currently it is, I wanted to say it was 4-under, but it's no longer 4-under. It's 3-under. So yeah, Siwon Kim just dropped a stroke. So it's 3-under currently, but all these guys are still on the course. So that's what it would be right at this moment. But that obviously is a subject to much fluctuation.
Schauffele with double. Ugh.
We just gave back 3 strokes in the last 2 holes, I think.
You want sort of breaking news?
Yep. Sort of breaking news.
Sort of breaking news here on a numbers game. This is from Keith Pompey at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Quote, the belief among NBA executives is that James Harden will rejoin the Houston Rockets this summer. Sources have said his interest in returning to Houston is mutual and not a ploy to get a lucrative deal out of the Sixers.
Wow. So Daryl Morey loses his man. And now will Daryl Morey worry that Joel Embiid will want to force his way out?
I'd be worried about that every day.
Yeah. Because, you know, the whole, me and James can't do it ourselves. Well, now it's you, buddy.
Just you.
We'll see.
James, he's probably still got
James Harden. Love going
years.
Back to Houston.
Yeah. He loves it.
Loves it, apparently.
Still has family there. Still has a house. So, home. I respect that.
Still renowned there for some of his nocturnal activities as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he gets comp drinks.
Yeah. Dwayne Colucci joins us, everybody. It's always a treat. He's the recent sports manager at the Rampart. You can follow him at NYBookieDwayne. That's Dwayne with a U. On the heels of the 148th, or I should say on the run-up to the 148th Preakness Stakes at Pimlico in Baltimore, he joins us now. How you doing, Dwayne?
Doing well, Gil. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you coming on here. So now, before the Derby 2 weeks ago, I was on vacation, but... four horses got scratched between Thursday and Friday, and then we found out, you know, just before the race, that perhaps the most shocking of the scratches of all that could have happened, Forte got scratched. And so Mage ends up winning the Preakness, and then this morning, because of a hind leg injury, we have another horse, the second favorite, First Mission, gets scratched, and so Mage becomes an even bigger favorite. I mean, 7 horses right now. Dwayne, break this down for us. How do you see this?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to make money on this race, I'll be honest with you, Gil. Now Mage becomes a standout, and the pace scenario somewhat changes in this race. Now you have to watch the rail horse, National Treasure. Bob Baffert returns now. He was not able to run his horses at Churchill Downs. We know he was suspended, but now he becomes, very much of a factor just because the horse has a lot of speed. And most of these horses are deep closers, Gil, when you look at it. Even Mage. Mage doesn't break too well. That's been his reputation throughout his career. And even in the Derby, you know, you look at it, the first call, he's 10 lengths behind. And, in 15th position, drop back to 16th, then makes that unbelievable closing move. Now, you watched Epicenter last year, who had a similar running style, but even sits closer, had a lot of trouble reeling in and couldn't get to early voting. So this is a different scenario. It's a shorter distance than the Kentucky Derby. A lot of people don't realize that as well. So National Treasure will be gone from the rail by the legend John Velasquez. And Bob Baffert has this horse in top shape, Gil. Look at the workouts, 47-4, 111-1, leading into this race. Now, the horse didn't fire all that well in the Santa Anita Derby, but, definitely has a chance now, skipping the Kentucky Derby and putting blinkers back on. The horse ran with blinkers twice, and the blinkers kind of make you focus to go to the lead, Gil. So that's very important. So now I believe the one becomes a major player in this race with the defection of the Brad Cox trainee, First Mission, who would have been sitting right off of the one and had probably the first move to where Mage and horses like Blazing Sevens would have had to come after this horse. So now it becomes different. I think that Mage is going to have to sit a lot closer. It's going to be a lot of pressure on Castellano to get this favorite out of the gate. And you're going to see a short price, Gil. I mean, you're going to see 2-5, maybe even 1-2 on this horse because of the lack of runners and massive betting interest. And most of the major players, like you said, Forte, skipping this race, and some of the others. So it's going to be a good race, but you're going to be hard-pressed to make money.
Hard-pressed to make money for the 1 3/16 mile Preakness Stakes. Does Mage feel like a Triple Crown horse to you? Or is the competition at Belmont going to be too stiff even if Mage wins this one?
Well, I think you're going to see some stiff competition in the Belmont, like you said. I think Forte, Angel of Empire, these horses will return and will look to knock off Mage. And, you know, Gil, he's still got to win this race.
Yeah.
There's some good runners here. You know, Red Route 1 could definitely win. Coming off some solid races at Oaklawn, and you look at the five horse, look at the horses that he lost, and there's no disgrace. Forte, Two Fills, Arabian Knight, who was a monstrous Baffert, you know, projected possible favorite in the Kentucky Derby, but then went down with an injury, and Angel of Empire. So this horse faced all the top runners and could definitely make, you know, one late closing run with Steve Asmussen, a great, great trainer. We know him. He's a legend, Hall of Famer. Joel Rosario, a big money rider. And these guys combined for about 40% at the current Pimlico meet. And a great ROI, Gil, $2.76 on a $2 wager. So anytime you're above $2, you're the money guy. You know that you're making money on this combination. And this could definitely light up the tote board because we're seeing a 10-1 morning line, but I believe that'll be adjusted down to about 6-1 now with the 8-horse scratching. So a horse like Red Route 1 could definitely test Mage when it comes to the hard running deep in the stretch. But anything's possible, Gil. Mage could possibly win the Triple Crown. Got to get by this test, though.
Got to get by this test. So bottom line then this for me, because I'm hearing that you know, if it's going to be tough to make money, maybe you're not going to be that involved. Will you be involved at all? What will be your bets ultimately? Will you have any here?
Yeah, definitely, Gil. I'll probably key the five horse now. I'm going to look for that last closing run. I'm going to use Red Route 1 on top of the one horse, like I said, National Treasure and Mage, as well as the seven horse, Chad Brown, Blazing Sevens. You know Chad, he's won 2 Preaknesses out of the last 5 years. He definitely knows how to train. He is one of the top conditioners in the world. So I'll probably key the five on top of those horses in exactas and trifectas, and then put also Red Route 1 in the second position, you know, putting Mage, the one horse, and the seven horse on top of them. So I'll bet tries, exactas, and reverse, and a little win action because, you know, if you're going to get a price, the five horse is going to be the price. I think Baffert's going to get way bet down. Like I said, if you're looking at that Mage, you definitely have to key that horse in trifectas. But with a seven horse field, if Mage wins, the payoffs are going to be very small. You're going to have to bet multi-race wagers as well. If you like Mage, I would suggest and recommend betting pick fours and pick fives. They have a fabulous card at Pimlico. There's some exciting races and definitely some champions that will run over this weekend. And, you know, you also could bet a double with the Black Eyed Susan that is run today with the Preakness Stakes. So that's in a two-day wager and a two-day exotic, which is very exciting. But you have another Bob Baffert training Pfizer. That's going to be very short in that race and tough to beat.
Dwayne, appreciate it so much. Always great to talk to you, man.
Oh, Gil, you're the best. I appreciate you guys having me on, as always.
Dwayne Colucci, everybody, racing sports manager over at the Rampart Casino here in Las Vegas. Kelly, you betting on the Preakness in the end? You know you will. You'll have a bet.
Oh,
yes?
Yeah. Live bet Saturday for me and JVT, 4 hours here tomorrow for us to get prepared for the Preakness Stakes. I think it works just like the Derby, right, where they go off at that. It's like the same time, I think. So it usually happens right during a break in between the two shows.
Oh, that's true. Based on our clock, it
yeah,
usually does.
Yeah, so we got done with one, and then both shows watched the Kentucky Derby actually run before the next show.
Though I felt like the Derby was delayed, wasn't it? I was like, we're not starting this yet? I felt, anyway. Yeah. It'll
well, it's
be
what?
Like
they have the post time. They just got to figure out getting the horses in there.
Congratulations to Jeff Parlay in advance. I'm headed to St. Louis. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.